Make sure you're downloading the show in podcast form so you can take it with you wherever you're going, maybe on the way to the tailgate on a Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. I told you we got a few games we want to dig into here. John had brought up Illinois and Duke earlier. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. The Cy-Hawk rivalry, Iowa-Iowa State. We'll see if Iowa can somehow score 30 points, only throwing the ball for like 50 yards again. We'll get into all that, but let's start with what is probably the big one of the weekend, right? Saturday night on ABC, number 15, Michigan Wolverines against the number 18, Oklahoma Sooners. Only the second ever meeting between these two programs. First one was all the way back in the 1976 Orange Bowl. You got Bryce Underwood, who's taken over the quarterback position, Choppy, for Michigan. Looked decent in his debut last week against New Mexico. They didn't cover. It was a 34.5-point spread. They won by 17, but he threw for 250. John Mateer, on the other hand, you mentioned experienced quarterbacks and making sure you have one. Oklahoma went out and got themselves one. Looked really good. 30 of 37, 392, and three scores. Granted, over Illinois State, but take it for what it's worth, a good start for Oklahoma, and they're laying 5.5 at home against the Wolverines on Saturday.
Man, I really like the Sooners here. I know that Bryce is a super talented player, but I think you're going to see a very similar thing with what you saw with Arch this week, and that's a player going into a road environment who's never played in a road environment. And that's going to be a problem. It's just going to be a problem. And it's nothing against him. If this game was in Michigan, I think all those problems would be alleviated, but it's not. I don't think you can simulate how difficult it is to play a road game in college football. We have seen it. It's been more apparent over the last, last 3 weeks of college football that we've had, if you count playoff from last year, how difficult it is. And then you add, kids, 18-year-old kids who were playing in front of 8,000 people this time last year and now are playing in front of 88,000 people. It's tough. I could easily make the case the jump from high school to college, Division I, major Division I, is bigger than it is from major Division I to the pros for that reason, because you're already used to playing in front of big crowds. If you play at Georgia, playing against the Packers is no big deal, right? You've already played in front of that crowd, but you've not played in front of this one. And that, I think, is why Oklahoma, that is the difference in this game. The Sooners win, and they cover.
John, are we overreacting a little bit? I know a lot of us came in high on the Sooners, especially because of Mateer. And again, it was against Illinois State. But they are the home team here, and I think Choppy makes a point about a young quarterback on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point there will be some interest in Michigan. I think you already have seen a little bit of it, late in the week, because it gets to a point where if it opens at 1 and then it just keeps getting out, 2, 3, 4, we're crossing a lot of key numbers here, boys. So I think there will be, at some point some interest in Michigan. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's fine laying. I mean, I would not really get involved with Oklahoma now because I just know, Michigan loves these ugly games. They play these ugly games and they just find ways to stay in them. But I think if this gets back towards Oklahoma and we can maybe, I don't know that it will cross 4 again, but if for whatever reason it did, I could see, Oklahoma, again, taking some money. But I think right now with where it is at this point, 5.5, you're only going to see Wolverines money. And it makes sense with a total of 44.5, right? I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma a lot in this one as well. They're down to plus 350 to make the playoff, down from, 525, 550 preseason. So that number continues to come down. If you think they can sneak in as the fourth team in the SEC, if you think Bama's dropping out of that picture, obviously, after just 1 week, their number has actually gone to the plus side to make the playoff. So maybe Oklahoma is that third or fourth team from the SEC to sneak into the playoff if you're looking at futures on the Sooners. But, 5.5, I really like that number, and I just don't see Michigan generating the offense, especially on the road with a freshman quarterback against the Sooners. Also a noon Eastern kick, Iowa State, Iowa. We talked about the Cyclones a couple minutes ago, an impressive opening victory for them. And they've won four of the last six meetings of the Cy-Hawk rivalry. Iowa has. Iowa State, though, has won two of the last three. Iowa State last week, 65 points against South Dakota. Rocco Beck, 19 of 20 for 278 and three touchdowns. And I mentioned Iowa, I think, threw for, I want to say it was like 50 yards. It was ridiculous. They still scored 30 points because they ran for a bunch. It was Iowa doing Iowa things. The spread's at 3.5 now. The hook makes me pause just a second because it's probably a low-scoring game if it involves the Hawkeyes. That total, though, 41.5, choppy. I mean, we're used to seeing Iowa totals, even against a team that can score some points like the Cyclones, in the 30s.
We are. But, I like the under in this one. I would probably lean towards the under. I actually think Iowa State could cover, which I know is probably not the greatest thing for an under to play there. I just don't trust Iowa to score. It doesn't matter what year it is. I don't even think it matters who the coach is. They just play games to make it look bad. They're trying to recreate Field of Dreams. I'm convinced of that. They're just trying to recreate it, a different sport, you know, bunting and everything. Whatever the football version of the bunt is, and the sack fly. That's what Iowa is from a football perspective. Give me the under and give me Iowa State -3.5.
John?
Just the prototype of game that I hate betting. rivalry game. Don't really know all that much about either. And I'm having to lay a hook here.
Yeah.
I think generally speaking, I mean, profitably, you can bet the under and forget it. And that's probably what I would do. I wouldn't think this through too much. It's an Iowa State game. It's 41.5. I'll bet the over. And if they get me, man. But I couldn't bet over on this one.
Yeah, the only path to the over is, I mean, I guess I could see Iowa State opening it up late if they have a lead.
Right.
And maybe they hang 30 and Iowa's able to scratch and fight and claw their way to, you know, 14 points and we're beating ourselves up at the end of the night. But I tend to lean with you guys that the under is always the way to go with Iowa. If not for the hook, I liked it when it was at 3 with Iowa State, but with the 3.5, I think I do just because of the low scoring nature of these games. I'm going to stay away from it. Illinois and Duke, another noon Eastern kick on Saturday. The highest the Illini have been ranked in the AP top 25 since they were number 10 in 2001. Duke, are they a part of this ACC conversation? John, you brought them up a couple minutes ago, but Illinois laying 3 on the road at Duke. I think Illinois is a dark horse Big Ten playoff candidate, but this is one of those games they've got to win to show me that they're more than just a dark horse, that they're legit. This seems like it would be a prime stumbling block for the Bielema teams of the last couple years.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Duke is a really interesting team because they paid this Mensa kid so much money. I mean, I think every time this kid's numbers come up, it's like they get more outrageous. Like it's just insane. And you know, I thought he looked pretty good last week against Elon, but it's Elon. So, you know, I don't want to really take too much out of it, but look, man, I don't know how you pass up getting 3 here at home with that kid's talent. I realize that Illinois is, you know, super loaded and they're in for their best year in a long time. But, you know, I just think Duke's coach and this kid from Tulane, I think they're going to have enough to give Illinois and that they had a chance to win this outright. So especially at 0-5, I would definitely be on the home dog here.
Man, I'll tell you, I just don't get Illinois. I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing with them. I just can't buy it. It's like Indiana last year. I just couldn't buy it. Yeah. And I know that, you know, and I know Illinois kind of, you could see the natural progression. I think skewed by Bielema at Arkansas. But maybe that's a DeBoer thing. It just didn't work. Right. Nothing against him. Yeah. He was a good coach from Scott. It just didn't work. But yeah, I don't know what to make of what to make of Illinois. And obviously, when Duke spends that kind of money on a quarterback, I think I would expect more things than what you saw in week one. So I'm probably going to stay away. I think John's right though. I mean, that's a low number. If you're looking for the number 11 team, that is not a tough place to play.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go down your way for one here, Choppy. Baylor at SMU. Also a noon Eastern, 11 Central kick. SMU is only laying 2.5. Now, my initial knee-jerk reaction is, oh, yeah, give me SMU laying less than a field goal. But I wonder how much of that ugly loss to the week one loss for Baylor to Auburn, how much of that was a mirage? The defense didn't look great, obviously, but they rolled up nearly 500 yards on offense, Choppy. So The things that are supposed to go well for Baylor still went well in spots. No turnovers. They got out uglied against Auburn. Yeah. So I don't know. This is a weird one for me because the initial knee-jerk reaction is give me SMU, especially if it's less than a field goal. But I think Baylor bounces back this week.
Look, I'm in a similar boat because, when you're kind of close enough to these programs, you kind of know their warts, you know their good things. I was a little surprised that it was only 2.5. But I don't know that, like, I think SMU was kind of due for, not a down year, but a lesser year than they had last season. I mean, how could you not be? You went to the playoff. You weren't expected to go to the playoff. And, Baylor is a team that's fighting for their coach. A lot of this is what actually is Auburn? What do you make of Auburn? What do people make of Auburn? Are they – I mean, I saw some of these the amount of people that have them, like, if the season ended today, they're a playoff team. What are we doing here? I think we might be overreacting a little bit to them, but what is Auburn? Is Auburn a top 15, top 10 team? If they are, that actually does seem pretty beneficial to Baylor's offense and what they were able to do, what Sawyer was able to do, slinging that football around. But, on the surface, I'm like 2.5 is too little. I would take SMU at 2.5, but something about that number scares me.
Yeah, SMU is another team that, like you said, you come into the season thinking, okay, it can't go as well as it did last year. They're going to have to come back down to earth, and this would be a prime year for it. But just at home against Baylor, and I understand, like you said, a lot of people are coming in high on Baylor this year. I don't know. This is a tough one for me to read. The total 63.5, though. It's down from 65.5 earlier in the week. I mean, I don't like to go over something in the 60s, but we might get a good bit of offense in this one.
Definitely going to get a good bit of offense. There's no doubt about that. Like, this is going to be one of those, shoot 'em up type games. You are going to get a ton of offense. And, and a lot of this is, the trenches, who wins the battle between the trenches. That happens in every level of football. But the quarterback play for both these teams is pretty good, so I expect some points.
One more quick peek at a game because we slandered Lane Kiffin earlier. We should probably bring his team up. Number 20, Ole Miss at Kentucky, laying 10. Kentucky's bad, Choppy. I mean, yes. Real bad. So I don't know if 10 is enough here. I don't know if Ole Miss is a borderline playoff team again this year like they were a year ago. I tend to say no. I think they're probably a borderline top 25 team, and that's where they're ranked right now, 20th. I think that's more like it, but Kentucky's bad. I think I'd be fine laying in down to 9.5 at BetMGM right now. I'd be fine laying less than double digits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kentucky is they're unwatchable. Right now, they're unwatchable. I'm convinced that they're just not trying to play football, modern football. I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's not play modern football. And look, Lane Kiffin has shown to be somewhat of a quarterback whisperer. And I certainly don't want to offend any Ole Miss fans. I drew the ire of Ole Miss fans on social media because I dared to say that they might not have the same NIL money as Texas. I dare to say that. But yeah, who knows, right? But it's college football, man. It just means more. It just means more.
Well, we'll see how it goes for Ole Miss. I mean, again, they've lost Jackson Dart, four of their five starting offensive linemen coming into this year, and most of their experience on the D-line. But I don't think this is a spot where the tumble starts on the road at Kentucky. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of those early adjustments to the Heisman numbers after week one. Get you our best bets as well, all on the way here on BetMGMU.